Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Thursday, August 29th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Final podcast before we're officially in week one mode. And actually wanted to fill people in on what to expect this season from the podcast. So in years past, I kind of just ran through all the articles that I did, and that really wasn't great content. So that's actually not what's going to be the case on the show this year. You kind of get like abridged stuff. You'll get news stuff on here. But if you want all the goods in terms of content, you want the waiver wire rankings, you want weekly rankings, weekly projections, they're going to be available, like usual, over at ftnfantasy.com. It's not too late to get in. Even if you already drafted, you can get the content for, well, actually straight on through draft season next year, because it's a 365-day subscription. So if you got in today, it wouldn't renew again until the 29th of August next year. So get the keys given year-round, baby. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Also appreciate all the shout-outs from people out there regarding the merch store. It's live. It's awesome. I love it. I want to get like every color of every sweatshirt, but definitely go check that out, the merch store at ftnfantasy.com. All right, so today I want to talk about a few things. We want to tie a bow on some of the roster cut stuff and players who were potentially claimed or players who landed on practice squads, things like that. And then the Deontay Foreman, as expected, he's back onto the roster. That was procedural, and that will happen at this time of year. Also wanted to briefly talk about Brandon Ayuk and Ja'Marr Chase, because we have to, and about the Patriots starting quarterback spot. Let's actually lead with those topics. So let's start with Brandon Ayuk here. And I have emails to get to later in the show as well, but let's start with Brandon Ayuk. So he, good news, made the 53-man roster. Surprise, surprise. He also passed his physical. Okay. Now here's where the fun begins, because he was holding in. Now, as a hold in, he technically was not violating the collective bargaining agreement, so he was not subject to fines. But now, because he's medically cleared, because he had claimed that he had like a neck and back issue, shout out Friday, his neck and his back. But now that he's medically cleared, he needs to be on the practice field. And he was not on the practice field yesterday. John Lynch saying, hey, at some point you got to play. Well, here's the deal. If he misses practice now, he is subject to fines. The maximum fine per day is it's an oddly specific number. You ready for this? $45,769. Nice. Right there. And could potentially escalate to a suspension for conduct detrimental to the team. The idea here is you're subject to fines for unexcused absences of any sort. So you're missing team activities, walkthrough, curfew, practices, meetings, any of those things. You're subject to a fine. He could potentially start getting fined here. And, you know, that adds up pretty quickly. Like in a week, if he misses practice like straight on through next week, or any sort of activities straight on through next week, you're talking $300K, like roughly, right off the bat. And this is all about money, right? He wants to get paid. He deserves to get paid. I'm not going to knock him there. But this is all about money. So the 49ers are still playing hardball here. And they could start fining him. Now, likewise, Ja'Marr Chase, his head coach walked it back a little bit. And I want to bring these two together, so I will get back to Ayuk in a second. But Ja'Marr Chase, he may not be practicing this week. His head coach, Zach Taylor, said he, quote, probably put his foot in his mouth speaking too quickly regarding Chase being back in practice and then likely being ready to go for week one. All right, so let's put it together here. You drafted Brandon Ayuk, you drafted Ja'Marr Chase. Heck, you drafted Brandon Ayuk and Ja'Marr Chase. This is not something that is completely shocking. Like, you drafted these dudes knowing there was a lingering situation, and there was the possibility that they don't play in the beginning of the season. I highly doubt either one of them sits out the entire season. Like, yes, people have pointed out that Ja'Marr Chase sat out his last year in college to get ready for the pro level. This is a different scenario. This is totally different. He also has 2 years left on his existing contract. Brandon Ayuk is in the final year of his deal, but both of these guys are under contract, and I think they ultimately will play. Like, I honestly think something gets done with Ayuk before the start of the season. I know we're 1 week away. I know, but I do think something gets done. So either way, you went into this knowing that. If they miss time and you're the type of person who's going to freak the you-know-what out, well, I gave you the advice throughout this podcast. I gave the advice on the radio show, all of that. You shouldn't draft those players. You just shouldn't draft those players. If you can't handle that the repercussions of them sitting out, you can't handle your emotions, then don't draft those players. And I'm not saying, like, how dare you? You should have stronger emotions. No, like, know the type of player you are. And let's face it, there are a lot of people who play this game very emotionally. I am not one of them. And that's why, like, the worst question you could ask me is, what would I do? Because I may not do the same thing as you because I'm not you. Plain and simple. I'm not you. I am okay if these guys miss because I realized that risk was baked into the pick. I'm not going to get emotional. You know, and really why I bring up the emotional aspect is you're going to make worse decisions if you're heated or you're pissed or you're, you know, upset or whatever. Woe is me. You're going to make worse decisions then than if you're, you know, kind of just zen about this thing, you know, or unemotional. Let's say you don't even have to be zen. Like if you're in a situation where it's not emotionally charged for you, then you're going to make better decisions. So that was the advice all along. And it really doesn't matter what I would do. It really matters what you would do because you're the one who has to run your roster, make start sit decisions, waiver decisions, all of that. So hopefully that advice helps. But I do think both of them will be on the field. Even if they miss a game or two, they'll be on the field in short order. It's a lot of money to pass up on. And the same thing could apply to Ja'Marr Chase too, by the way. If you know, he's medically clear, then they could start applying fines to him as well. All right, let's talk about the Patriots. A little bit of a surprise. So it wasn't a surprise that Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback for the Steelers, but it was a little bit of a surprise that Jacoby Brissett is the starter for the Patriots. That officially announced here, Gerard Mayo said he told players at a team meeting, and now it is out there. So I set the line here for Drake May at week 4.5. And I actually think it's slight over. I think week 5 is the week that makes the most sense. Because if you look at the start to the season, okay, they get the Bengals, not an easy game. Seahawks, we don't know what they're going to look like, but I don't want to just say it's a pushover of a matchup. Then they get the Jets, then they get the 49ers, two of the best defenses in the NFL. I don't think it makes sense to roll Drake May out there then, but if you look to that first matchup in October, week 5, it's Miami. Not that Miami's a pushover. Obviously, offensively, they're not. But where would you rather the first start for a quarterback? Would you rather it in one of those games against those stout defenses or, you know, against Miami? I think that's a better spot. So that's why I chose that range. I'm not saying I guarantee he's going to be a starter by week 5, but that is where it kind of makes sense. Now, if Brissett is for some reason rolling, there wouldn't be the pressure to get him out there because I just think there's going to be a lot of pressure to get Drake May out there. The pressure is going to obviously come from media, fans, but there may even be Robert Kraft pressure. We don't know. You know, we really don't know what's going to be going on behind the scenes there. But when you take a quarterback third overall, history shows us that even if that guy isn't starting right away, he tends to get on the field very quickly. Now, the one exception in recent memory was Trey Lance, and I think obviously we now know why. But if you look at like Daniel Jones and Justin Herbert, like these high first round picks, they get on the field, even if they're not the week one starter, they get on the field quickly. So I think that's what we're ultimately going to see with him. Just keep that in mind if you have him in super flex leagues. All right, let's roll through some of the info and maybe some of it I got to yesterday, but now I have better context anyway, so we'll rip through this stuff. First and foremost, as I mentioned, Deontay Foreman is back on the roster. That was expected. The team moved on from Tyler Huntley. They had four quarterbacks. They weren't going to carry four quarterbacks, and it looks like they just couldn't get a trade done for either Huntley or DTR, but they ended up keeping DTR. Huntley will find a landing spot, even if it's on a practice squad. The NFL likes backup quarterbacks, and rightfully so, they should. So he's back. he being Deontay Foreman, could be viable early in the season. Let's see how they end up using this backfield, but he's a bigger back than Jerome Ford, so he should get some action here early on. May not be fantasy viable, but could cut into that Jerome Ford workload. Taylor Heinicke traded to the Chargers in exchange for a conditional six-round pick. All right, Easton Stick is out as the backup. Can't blame the Chargers here. Taylor Heinicke's a better backup option. The Chargers also claiming Hassan Haskins. I believe I mentioned that yesterday. I don't know if I mentioned that he played under Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Right now, they still have five running backs on the roster, so let's see what happens. Hopefully, they keep Kimani Vidal, because I know a lot of folks who listen to this podcast did throw a dart at him in the late rounds, but it also means a tougher pathway for Kimani Vidal, provided even there is a pathway. Like, if Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins stay healthy, there's no pathway. Now, easier said than done on that one. The Chiefs bringing in Samaje Perine, and I had mentioned that yesterday, that's more of an indictment of Carson Steele than anything. I don't know if there's a strong pathway for Samaje Perine, though I will say he can catch the ball out of the backfield pretty good for his size. Like, you think of him as a bigger back, but he actually is pretty good in the passing game. He may have a little bit of a role there. That's obviously an important part of the Andy Reid offense, but we know this is Pacheco first and foremost. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is still the backup. Noah Brown landing with the Commanders. It'll be interesting to see how they use him, because they do have three slot receivers, any one of whom could start for them. But perimeter-wise, they're a little thin. Noah Brown can play inside or outside, so it'll be interesting to see what they do there. It's more depth than anything. Donald Parham going to the Denver Broncos. He's technically on the practice squad for them, not on the active roster. And that's true about Dalvin Cook, too, by the way. I wasn't quite sure what they were doing yesterday. It is clear he is on the practice squad. A couple that I mentioned who got claimed yesterday, but just to reiterate, Kenane Nwangwu going to the Saints. He's reunited with Clint Kubiak, who he had worked with when he was with Minnesota. Cody Schrader going to the Rams. That was an interesting one. I don't know if this is more depth for them. We'll have to see what shakes out there with Cody Schrader. He's a capable pass catcher out of the backfield, though. And then Grant Dubose going to the Miami Dolphins. They were very, very thin at wide receiver, so they claimed him after the Packers parted ways with him. Dubose had a good preseason, so this one makes sense. Glad to see you landed on a roster spot. Let's see. Some of the practice squad: Donovan Peoples-Jones to the Lions, Allen Robinson to the Lions, Terrace Marshall to the 49ers, Colin Johnson and Austin Reed to the Bears, Michael Carter to the Cardinals, Isaiah Hodgins to the Giants, Robert Tonyan to the Vikings, Miles Gaskin to the Vikings, Michael Pratt to the Buccaneers, Sam Hartman, the flowing hair there, to the Commanders. And one really fascinating one. So Travion Williams got cut by the Cincinnati Bengals. They currently only have two running backs in their backfield. I would expect either Williams gets brought back or they do something else here, because as of right now, it's Zach Moss and Chase Brown, and that's it. And that's not enough depth for them there. Could have been a procedural move. We'll see on that front. Don't think there's anything else major out there right now. We'll see a little bit of movement here and there. The only other story that came out, and this is not a shock whatsoever, is that Rashee Rice, according to Ian Rappaport, he said, with Rashee Rice's legal situation not yet settled, Rice remains eligible to play this season. Duh. The NFL has told us this. They're not going to do anything until the legal process plays out. This is a lengthy legal process, because this is not an easy legal issue. He's facing 8 felony counts. One would imagine that he will be suspended at some point, but I've said all along, I didn't think it was going to happen until 2025. And I used a much milder example to compare here, and it was Alvin Kamara. He was not facing 8 felony counts, and that took a year and a half before that suspension officially was issued. So it could be a while here for Rashee Rice. If you took the discount in best ball a while back, good for you. He wasn't quite as discounted here in August as I thought he was going to be, but he still was maybe slightly discounted there. So good stuff for you if you took the discount. Nicely done. All right, I only have a few emails today. Today's slightly shorter, and remember, no podcast on Monday. I'm going to be chilling for Labor Day with the family, relaxing, recharging the batteries before the madness begins, and then I'll be back on Tuesday. Also, go check out the FTN Fantasy Football podcast. Yesterday, I dropped an episode over there that covers some potential waiver wire ads before the season starts. I'm not doing that content here. You got to go listen to it over on that feed, FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. All right. Okay, so Dan has a draft question. He said he is looking at his draft and prefers selecting one wide receiver and one running back with his first two selections. Okay, before I read any more of his email, I don't think I will be able to answer his email. He is talking about the combination. So he's like, would you rather this combination, this combination, this combination? I don't want any of them necessarily, but I wouldn't shy away from them necessarily, but that isn't how I draft. So I feel like it would be misleading if I just simply answered your question. Here's what I'm going to do. When I'm up in round one, and let's say for sake of argument here, I've not predetermined that I'm going zero RB, because sometimes I will make that determination. Like today I had a host league draft for SiriusXM. It was a 12-team league. I knew that it was going to be an aggressive draft. There were a lot of smart people in the draft. So I said, hey, I know that I want to really hammer wide receiver here. So I decided before the fact that it was zero RB or bust. That isn't common for me. Like in a home league draft, I'm not going to do that. In a home league draft, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait until I am up and I'm going to take the highest player on my board in round one. And that's pretty straightforward. So if the highest player on my board is Bijan Robinson, then I take him. That's number four overall for me. If it's Ja'Marr Chase, I take him. If it's Saquon Barkley, I'd have to be back at the tail end of the first round, then I take him. So I'm not saying I have to get a wide receiver or a running back. I know I'm going to get one of the other, one or the other. If I get a wide out, I repeat that process in round two. If I have a running back, then I'm hammering wide out because I have a hero RB build. So I am hammering wide out and then looking at wheelhouse tight end when we start in round five. If in round five, there are five wheelhouse tight ends left, I know I can wait. If there's one left, then I need to draft him. I don't care what my round grade is for that player. I need to draft him because wheelhouse is going to be gone now. So anyway, back to round two. So let's say I drafted a wideout in round one. In round two, then I'm going to repeat the process. And if it's another wide receiver atop my board, then I'll repeat the process one more time in round three. And that will determine what I do from rounds four to six. If I drafted a running back in round two, then again, hero RB. And the key with hero RB is that any other running back now has a round seven grade or later. So-and-so like Rashad White is not falling to round five. He's actually overvalued for me if I didn't draft him in round five. I would need him in round seven. He's not getting there, but that's where I would need him. So I don't think here, Dan, that it is actually a good thing if I answered your pairing. I would say that the highest ranked guys in a given spot are going to be the best pairing, and that could be two wideouts. It could be a wideout and a running back, or a running back and a wideout. It's not going to be two running backs, though. All right, let's move on. Brendan, he said, trading down in a keeper league, whack idea. Wow, I haven't heard whack in a while. He said, he discovered me on Justin Boone's podcast a long time ago, and he's been a fan of the content ever since. That's awesome, man. Yeah, Justin Boone is really talented, man. Great ranker, really smart guy. I've known him for a long time. That's cool. You never know when you do these podcasts elsewhere who hears you. All right, he's in a 12-teamer, six keepers. So he said 65 players already are off the board, has the 1-2, the 2-1, the 2-11. He goes, Lamb will go 1-1. Picks 1-3, 1-4, 1-5, 1-10 have no keeper. Okay. So he said, I'm twisting my mind in a pretzel, wondering if I should trade down to 1-10 to move up to the 2-3. Wait, I'm struggling with this one. So no, I'm not trading down. If anything, I want to accumulate more picks up top, but I'm not trading down. To answer your question, it is a whack idea. I don't know who you're keeping necessarily here, but get the pick as early as possible. Like if you know CeeDee Lamb is going to go at 1-1, then whoever you get at 1-2 is the second best player on the board at that point to go along with your keepers. Now, if you're keeping an anchor, then, and how is CeeDee Lamb not being kept if there are six keepers each? But anyway, If you already have an anchor on your roster, then yeah, it's still like, let's go after wide receivers, et cetera, and then take it from there. But no, I do not want to move down in these drafts. Definitely not. It's just like in rookie drafts. I don't want to move down in rookie drafts. I want to make sure that I have as much ammunition up top as possible. Justin saying he wants my opinion on keepers. So before I get into the email, like a theme that has come up here on the show is like, my objective isn't just to answer questions for you. You do what I say, and then usually I'm wrong, and then you hate me for life as a result, right? Because ultimately, I'm not running your team. You know, I'm not making the decision for you. I can tell you how I make decisions, and then hopefully that can help you make the decision for yourself. Because honestly, that's like the best part, when you can own these decisions. And I will tell you, there was a point in time where it all started to get easy in terms of making decisions for fantasy football, because I was just like you guys. I mean, definitely 1,000% like you guys. I had no clue what I was doing. I wish somebody would just tell me how to do it. I had no idea. Like, please pull the curtain back and just tell me how you make these decisions. Tell me the right decision. And I also thought that there actually was a right decision. Like, there's a right or wrong. And you know, if I didn't get it right, then I was wrong. And fantasy isn't like that. You know, it's a game of gray areas. It's a game of probabilities. And yeah, we want to be on the right side of probability, but simply put, like, you're not going to have 100% chance of being right in a lot of instances when they are gray area decisions. So you want to just be right more often than you're wrong. And you know, ultimately here, you know, there's no such thing as a perfect keeper decision. Some of them are going to be pretty darn obvious, but sometimes they don't even work out as well. So he has an auction keeper league. And like, so for example, and it looks like it is a $200 budget. Yeah. He has Bijan Robinson at $65. That's too expensive. He has Travis Etienne at $47. That's too expensive, right? It's just too expensive. He has Alexander Mattison for $22. That's too expensive. Ramondre Stevenson for $29. It's too expensive. Amon-Ra for $20. Do I need to tell you that that is a value? Tank Dell for $7. Do I need to tell you that that's a value? Like, how do I know if it's a value? It's pretty easy. I would take those numbers and compare them to the market values. And my market values might be different than the ones that, you know, in this case, Justin is using, or that you, dear listener, are using, whatever. That's beside the point. The process is still going to be the same. So what you do is you compare just your keeper value to the market value. And let's say your keeper value is $65, but your market value is $45. Well, you're overpaying by 20 bucks there. That's 20 fewer dollars that you have to spend based on your market values in the auction than you would have if you didn't keep them, right? I don't want to do that. Definitely don't want to do that. Now, let's say your keeper value is $20 and you have a market value of $44. Well, you're saving 24 bucks. And I'm just tossing these out there. I'm not actually looking at my auction values right now. I don't have them pulled up. But you're saving $24 in that spot. Like, that's massive. That's ammunition right there. Big time ammunition. So that's what I would end up doing here. Let's see. I wonder how many keepers he has. He said 100% keeping Amon-Ra. Okay, so you're right there. He said his other options would be Anthony Richardson. So he's got Richardson for $7 or Tank Dell, leaning Tank Dell. See, Justin, you already knew the answers. Like, you doubted yourself, but you already knew the answers. And I believed in you all along. I knew Justin was going to know these answers. You got it, bro. Like, you were right. You're definitely right. I guess he said maybe waffling on Anthony Richardson. Is it a fair price on Richardson? Sure, but one of the things I've noted for myself over the years, like, one of the biggest mistakes I used to make in auction leagues was overspending a quarterback. So I think you could toss him back. Like, you're getting really good deals on those two guys. So you knew this all along. You definitely knew this all along. Good luck in your auction. I love auction drafts. They're so much fun. All right, Avery, rethinking auction strategy. Okay. Alrighty, Avery's thinking some strategy here. Auctions seem to be the topic of the day. Second season as an FTN subscriber. Awesome. He said, I love how you approach strategy in general. Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that. All right. So in a 10-team Superflex league, they had their auction last night, tried to stick to my strategy. And what he said, what I've now noticed about my league is people are comfortable spending big for the top guys. 10 guys went for over $50. He said, I stuck to your cheat sheet values, which means I ended up with a very deep, balanced team, but seemingly limited home run power. Well, you would say that right now, but I don't know. Let's look at what Avery has. All right. Here's Avery's roster. Dak, Stafford, Caleb. In a super flex, that's pretty nice. You have three top 20 guys in your super flex quarterbacks. That's really solid. And you have the upside of Caleb Williams. Josh Jacobs, Rashad White. Wow, two anchors. And there's no such thing as hero RB for me in auction leagues. Oh, listen to this. All right, so he says he doesn't have firepower. Josh Jacobs, Rashad White, Devon Achan, Kenneth Walker, and then even Devin Singletary's RB, you know, like his fifth running back is depth on that roster. That's good. A little light at wide receiver in terms of depth, but there is firepower here. Chris Olave, Rashi Rice, DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, Brandon Ayuk, and Terry McLaurin. And then the tight end is Trey McBride. Dude, you're too humble. You're way too humble. That's a good roster. I may have foregone Singletary for another wide receiver, but whatever. That's splitting hairs. He goes, depth is there, but do I need to worry that my team is lacking the equivalent of round one, two players, but lots of round three through five players? No, I don't think anything is the matter with this. Now, does your team get out the gate super hot? Maybe not necessarily, but I'm not worried about week one and two. People are going to lose. You watch, like next week, people are going to lose their minds. It happens every year. Everybody wants to quit after week one. The sky is falling, or their team is the greatest team ever. But the reality is it's all in between. The depth is really going to carry you here. It is really going to carry you here. And you do have firepower. Like you said, in round one, two players. Well, I can tell you this right now. I have seen Chris Olave get drafted in round two. I have seen Devon Achan get drafted in round two. So you have two of them right there. And then Jacobs, Rashad White are third round guys very frequently. I'm seeing DK Metcalf go in that range. DJ Moore sometimes goes in that range. Brandon Ayuk, Rashi Rice are like fourth, fifth round. McLaurin is like, what, fifth, sixth round. Walker is usually fourth round. Let's call fourth round. McBride is fourth round. Like the whole team, and that's one quarterback league, by the way. It's not super flex, but the whole team is like, you don't have any late round guys here. Even Singletary doesn't go in the late round in one quarterback leagues. Like that's really well done. I mean, I wouldn't be rethinking anything, Avery. Let's see how this whole thing plays out. All right. Let's see how the whole thing plays out this season, and then we'll revisit. But I think you did pretty darn good. All right. Enough gushing over that roster. Let's wrap things up here. So before I get out of here, remember, I'm not going to be here tomorrow. But in the meantime, hey, you could give me a little Labor Day gift. You could review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, rate it, review it. Give me that 5 stars. Don't be the one jerk one time. He's like, I don't want anybody to find out about this, so I'm giving it 1 star. Like, come on, man. Come on. I put a lot of effort into this thing. So rate, review it. Go listen to the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Subscribe to that as well, because you're going to get an episode once a week from me. There will be other episodes in that feed that are good as well. Follow me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe. And apparently my calling you guys out worked on Instagram, because my Instagram shot up yesterday. So if you're holding out on me, what the heck, bro? At Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. I am posting a bunch of content on there as well. So follow along with you there. Enjoy the Labor Day weekend. Have fun. Enjoy IPA Friday, all that fun stuff. And yeah, I'll be back on the flip side on Tuesday. When I'm here, it's officially on. Week one coming at you. All right. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.